Hi, everybody. This is David Tu, and welcome to my podcast. Today, the topic is going to come from Matthew 5:9. You've heard it all before. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. All right, let's get to it. I'm bringing this up because I was reading an internet article, and it was discussing, I don't even remember exactly what. I want to say it had something to do with ISIS. I don't remember exactly, but it was something along the lines of ISIS is destroying the freedoms of the world, and we can't allow this to happen as Americans, and so we cannot allow these people into our country. We shouldn't allow any of the refugees in here because ISIS might be bringing people in disguise, and we just shouldn't do that. And maybe a better answer would be to just bomb wherever we know ISIS lives so that we can destroy them and show our might and our power. I don't remember exactly. I'm kind of making that up. But my point is that I was reading this article, and the article was saying something drastic, violent, something like that. Now, I didn't totally disagree with the article. I kind of understood where the author was coming from, but I was reading the comments like I always do. And one of the commenters had just a very simple quote, didn't say anything other than this simple quote. What he basically said was, "You got to be kidding me. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. How can you call yourself a Christian?" Something like that. Really short. I kind of wish I didn't lose the article, so I could have told you a little bit more about the article and could have quoted the comment verbatim. But I don't think I need to go too much more into it, because I think we've all had that situation before where we might have responded to a situation in a way that might have implied violence or aggression, and the person who we were arguing with, debating with, speaking with said something along the lines of, "Blessed are the peacemakers." You know, it's one of those Christian things. You know, it's one of those things that a lot of Christians say. I'm doing these podcasts and these blog posts because I just think that so many Christians have become like the world. You go into the world and the world looks at Christians and they're staring at us and they're looking for us to make mistakes because they have in their brain an exact way that we're supposed to be working and it's supposed to be acting. And if we don't act as this saint, as this perfect person, they immediately pull out that index finger, start pointing at us and say something like, "Oh, and you call yourself a Christian?" And I think a lot of that's gotten into the church itself, so that a lot of Christians now think that that's supposed to be who we are. And even though they themselves aren't like that, they expect everyone around them in the church to be like that. And I think one of the problems I'm seeing is that this really warped sense of Christianity comes from really bad teaching within Christianity. Pastors, Bible teachers, you name it, authors, TV evangelists, whatever. I think that we're hearing these kind of things all over the place, and blessed are the peacemakers, I think, is just one of these things. It's something that Christians say. It's something that teachers teach, and the idea is, oh, we shouldn't be like that because Jesus wasn't like that. Now, as Christians, we all want to do the right thing. We all want to be biblical. And so the question we need to ask ourselves as Christians is, what exactly does it look like to be a peacemaker? We need to understand what a peacemaker is. What does that look like? We need to answer that question. So let's start with the obvious. The obvious is that most Christians, most people, most Christians included, take that peacemaker label at face value. So they use the term peacemaker to mean someone who makes peace, someone who avoids all violent solutions, situations, in an effort to bring two sides together. So one side's over here on the left, one side's over here on the right. Violence could break out, but the peacemaker steps in between and brings these two sides together with no violence, no aggression. And we kind of think of that as a peacemaker. As I was doing a little bit of research, I came across Christianity Today article. And in that article, it had different quotes about being a peacemaker. Here's just two of them. This is from Dietrich Bonhoeffer in The Course of Discipleship. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, "But now they are told," they being Christians, "but now they are told that they must not only have peace, but make it. And to that end, they renounce all violence and tumult." So that's one. Another one is from a guy named Jim Forrest in The Ladder of the Beatitudes. Honestly, I don't know that, but here's his quote. It says, "No one has ever been converted by violence." I'm not sure if the Muslims would agree with that, but besides that, his point is no one has ever been converted by violence. So I bring those up because I think that that's the norm. I think that the norm is that most people think peacemaker, nonviolence. And I think it's important for us to kind of dig a little deeper than that. I think we need to go a little bit more than peacemaker, nonviolence. Jesus said, therefore it is. So let's go a little deeper. If we were to go into the Greek and look up that word peacemaker that we read in Matthew 5:9, well, we're going to find something very interesting. That word is not used anywhere else in the Bible. That is the one time that word is used. So we do a little bit more research, and what we find is that there is a similar word used in Colossians 1:20. Now, interestingly enough, that's not used anywhere else in the New Testament either. So these two words are used once each in the New Testament. Okay, the Colossians 1:20 verse says this, "And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace," there it is, made peace, "having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." All right, so that's Colossians 1:20. Now, obviously, that was the end of a thought that Paul was having in writing Colossians. If you know Colossians, that section is talking about Christ. It's talking about who he is, that he is the image of the invisible God, that he's creator of all things. And we get to the end of that part there, and it's talking about him having made peace through the blood of his cross. So this is interesting, because if we were to look at the context of both of these words, what we're going to find is that the Colossians verse and the verse in Matthew, in the Beatitudes, they're both speaking about something deeper than just being a nonviolent peacemaker. When it's talking about this, it's talking about not physical, materialistic, in the world I can see it, peace, but it's talking about spiritual peace. It's talking about something deeper. For example, I'll give you exactly what it's talking about. John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." That's Jesus. Jesus is saying, this is at the end of his ministry. This is right before he's going to the cross. It's his final conversation with his disciples. He's explaining to them that he's leaving something with them. Now, he's obviously going to explain that he's going to leave the Holy Spirit as well. But another thing he's leaving with them is peace. Yet, not the peace we're talking about. Not the peace that Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Jim Forrest and everyone else seems to be talking about. It's not a peace where we're talking about nonviolence. In fact, Jesus, not too much later in this same conversation with the disciples, is going to say, you will have troubles in this world. Now, how can he say on one hand that we'll have peace and on the other hand we'll have trouble? Unless the peace he's talking about is something completely different. And that's the point. It is something completely different. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. What's the point? There's two types of peace, right? There's a peace that comes from the world. It's the peace that we've defined. It's that nonviolence peace. It's that peace that says, two sides are going at each other. We're going to find this middle ground where there won't be any aggression, any violence. That's the peace of the world. And unfortunately, it's the peace that most Christians think about when they are having debates, when they are talking to other people, like that article I tried to explain a little bit about at the beginning of this podcast. Here's somebody talking about a solution that discusses aggression, and the immediate response is, you call yourself a Christian? Well, blessed are the peacemakers. This is what that person is thinking, and is what most people are thinking when they talk about this particular verse in Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're thinking about the peace as the world gives. But that is not the peace that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about a different type of peace. It's not a worldly peace. It's a peace that comes only from him. Philippians 4:7 tells us a little bit about it. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehensions, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's the peace. The peace is the one from Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, that guards our hearts and guards our minds, that comes from God. It's called the peace of God. It surpasses all comprehension. We can't even understand it. And you know what I'm talking about. This is that peace that when you're sitting there and you're saying, oh, my son just learned how to drive. He's driving out at night for the first time and he's late. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? There's two ways of dealing with that. There's that anxiousness that comes from feeling that there's danger in your son's life because he's just learned how to drive and he's driving at night and he's not home. But there's also those who recognize, you know what? God's in charge. God's got this. God knows exactly what's going on. And I don't need to worry about this. And the peace of God just comes over you and takes away all that fear. And, you know, God forbid, you get a phone call. Hi, this is the hospital. Your son's here. He's been in a car accident. Oh my gosh, I got to run down to the hospital. You get down to the hospital. But you know what? Even as you're driving down to the hospital, you're thinking, you know what? There's a peace I have here. I have this peace. I've gone to the Lord. I've given this up to him. I know that he's got this. And so even as I walk through the hospital emergency doors, there's a peace I have. That's the peace. And people then turn around and say, wow, how can you be so calm with this stuff going on in your life? And your response, of course, is, I don't know. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with Jesus. It's a peace that comes from him. See, as brothers and sisters of Christ, as sons and daughters of God, we don't have to have the anxiety and the fear that the world desires us to have. We can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. We can have the peace that comes from Jesus. We can have the peace that when people look at us, they don't understand how we can be so calm. I remember when I was pastoring a church, the Ark Church on Long Island, we had taken a church trip because, of course, we were meeting on Sunday mornings, and we had taken a church trip to a Saturday night service at the Messianic Temple in, I guess it was Yaphank or Ronkonkoma, and they were doing this service where people were getting up and giving their testimonies. And one gentleman was a doctor, and his testimony was that he had a patient. He was an oncologist. He had a patient who basically was terminal. The person knew that they were going to die, and she was at complete peace with what was going on. And she went into the doctor's office, and the doctor's telling her about her situation, how she's got basically no time left and there's nothing else they can do. And her response was to share with him the gospel. And his response was to be so awed that this person was going through this thing and was at so much peace that they didn't really worry so much about their own situation, but they were still more concerned about his situation, that it turned his whole life around. He started looking into this Jesus guy. He started recognizing the truth of the Bible, and he became a Christian. That's the peace that surpasses all understanding. You could be dying, and you're at peace. Your loved one could be in trouble, and you're at peace. Things can be happening in your life that the rest of the world would experience, and they would say, the world is falling down around me, and you're at peace. And people have no other option but to ask you, how are you so calm? And man, you have just been a wonderful witness for Christ, because now you have the opportunity to share with them truth. You know what? There was a time when I would have been just like anyone else. I would have been freaking out. I would have been worried. My world would have been falling apart around me. But now that I have Jesus, I have this peace. And it doesn't come from the world. It comes from Him. He has given me a peace that you can't even understand. We don't necessarily want to say surpasses all comprehension, because then people will be like, whoa, where those words come from? It's not the way we normally speak. But we can say there's a peace that Jesus gives me that is just beyond our understanding. But you know what? It just protects me. It takes care of me. And when I go through situations that would have in the past made me crumble, it allows me to stand up strong and continue on in my life. And you know, that is just such an awesome witness to the world. I talk about this a little bit because when we get back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, what we recognize is we're in the Beatitudes. And as I had earlier said, the context of those two words in Greek that are so similar, peacemaker and making peace, and are only found in those two places, I had mentioned that their context is spiritual. And you might say, well, where are you getting that from? You know, I get it from the Colossians verse. I see how that's about spiritual. I get that. But I don't get where you're getting the Beatitudes are about spiritual, because I always thought the Beatitudes were about action, about doing things, about behavior, about activity. And I actually discussed that in my manuscript that I'm trying to get published, my book, Rethinking Some Popular Christian Thinking. One of the chapters there is about the Beatitudes. And in that chapter, I don't want to go through the whole book or anything, but basically I explain the Beatitudes differently than a checklist of things that we would like to be, things we would like to do so we can be blessed. That's not what the Beatitudes are. When I get that book published, you'll get a chance to look at it. But basically, one of the things I say in there, I'm going to just read from it. It says, those who have Jesus have His peace. When we share this peace with others, we are being peacemakers. We bestow this peace by telling others how they can receive this peace, by receiving Jesus. Peacemakers live a life of sharing Jesus with others. Those who do this are called children of God. They're heirs of His kingdom. That's from the book. That's my quote, unquote. The point is, when Jesus is talking about a peacemaker, He's not talking about somebody who is negotiating two sides in an unviolent, nonviolent, unaggressive way. He's talking about somebody who is sharing that peace that surpasses all understanding. That's a peacemaker. The definition of a peacemaker is somebody who makes peace. And the definition of the best peace that you can ever experience is the peace of Christ. So a peacemaker in the Beatitudes is somebody who is sharing the peace of Christ. And the only way you can get that peace of Christ is by receiving Jesus. When we receive Jesus, we now have the opportunity to receive His peace. A peacemaker is somebody who's going out and sharing that truth with people. What we want to recognize here is that while we want nonviolent solutions to any conflict. Christians need to stop using "blessed are the peacemakers" as a basis for being a pacifist. God himself is not a pacifist. How often did we read in the Old Testament that God explained to go to war? That God explained to wipe out a people, a tribe, a group? And that God actually punished the Israelites when they didn't do that? God is not a pacifist. They say, oh, well, that was the God of the Old Testament. Well, we're not going to get into that one because that's also another really bad Christian thinking. The God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. Maybe we'll do that another day. But he's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He will never change. He is God, always the same. And therefore, the God of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament, same God, he is not a pacifist. And just to make the point, if you really want to press it, Jesus, the God of the New Testament, is not a pacifist, right? We see him turning over tables. We see him making whips. But mostly, we see him coming again and destroying his enemies prior to his millennial kingdom. Look up Revelation chapter 19. If you look at the end of that chapter, you will find the picture of Jesus coming back and destroying, going to war to destroy his enemies. And it's a bloody affair. So God is not a pacifist. And we cannot use Matthew 5, 9 to make ourselves pacifist when, number one, God himself is not a pacifist. And number two, that is not the context or the meaning of that verse. We cannot take that verse out of context and make it mean something we want it to mean. So while we desire peaceful resolutions for every situation, we need to recognize that there are times when God himself uses violence to resolve a crisis. Now, this doesn't mean that every crisis, every resolution should be antagonistic. It doesn't. But we cannot use Matthew 5, 9 to say that every resolution should be peaceful. Not every resolution is going to be pleasant. Sometimes the resolutions are unpleasant. And that could mean violence. That could mean aggression. We cannot use Matthew 5, 9 to make those kind of determinations for us. That would be taking the Bible out of context and making very bad decisions based on unbiblical precepts. So we need to stop doing that. We need to stop saying, blessed is a peacemaker. We need to stop saying that when we mean we don't want to be violent. Just say, you know what? I don't think we should be violent. Fine. Make your points, debate your side, but don't misquote the Bible. So I'm just going to finish with this. If every Christian who is so quick to quote Matthew 5, 9 were to be the peacemaker that Christ actually intended them to be, we would probably have half the world evangelized in a moment. Peacemakers are the people who proclaim to the world the source of true peace, the person of Jesus Christ. Those people who are doing that, they are called blessed. They are called the children of God. So thanks for joining me today. I appreciate your time, and I pray that this has been enlightening and enjoyable and knowledge building for you. If you haven't already, I would love it if you would subscribe to my blog. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please go out to david2.com. That's David, T-U-E, one word, david2.com. And you should find the sign-up form right at the top of the page somewhere. There's also the form at the bottom of the page and also somewhere on the right of the page. It certainly gives you lots of options to fill out the form. But I'd love it if you could fill out that form. Also, working to try to get as many people to subscribe to my blog as I can. I need people to subscribe if I want to get this manuscript published. So it would be a huge help if you would share this with your friends, if you enjoyed it, if you liked it. If you didn't, of course, don't. But if you did, if you thought it was useful or you thought it was interesting, I would love it if you would share that with your friends, with your pastor, with your Bible teacher, with your wife, with your coworkers, your neighbors, whoever it is that you think might benefit from something like this. Go ahead, send them a text, send them an email, send them this link, and let them know I'm out here. If you really, really like this, I would be indebted to you if you would just let them know to sign up for my blog post. So I appreciate your time. I know that it's valuable, and I love you for it. God bless you. This is David Tu, and my calling is to share biblical truth with you. Maranatha.